1972 on his album Merrimack County, but we did hear the Dirt Band's version of Mother Earth provides for me. Trail trifecta, 8:35. Greg, it's the morning trail. Perfect timing coming out of that, don't you think?
I think so.
I think so, too. Jackson Crawford, how are you, Jackson?
I'm doing well. How are you, Greg?
I'm good, thank you. No, you grew up in Bozeman.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you lived in Bozeman?
So I graduated from high school in 2014, and then I came over here to the University of Montana to study economics.
Okay.
And I graduated this last semester in the fall, and now I'm just working at the Notorious PIG and doing some organizing for environmental events and stuff.
Good for you. Good for you. So you came over here, and you got your degree in what?
Economics.
I was talking to somebody about that. Maybe my wife and I were talking about that the other day. I think I had a guest in who had a history in that. And for years and years and years, economists were like the nerdiest of the nerds. And then all of a sudden, everybody started caring about the economy as everything went nuts in 2008. And all of a sudden, oh, you're an economist. Oh, no. I know a nice boy is an economist. What do you think? I mean, are you feeling the love out there?
Well, I think I am a bit of a nerd myself, so that helps me out there. But I think the cool thing about economics is about maximizing happiness, in my eyes, whereas something like finance is about maximizing profits.
Ah,
and I think a lot of people don't really understand that about economics. It's about trying to make a functional society, you know, whereas something like finance is about making a functional monetary system.
Yeah, that is so interesting because you're right. I mean, you can go back to all the platitudes you want about, you know, money can't buy you love, money can't buy happiness and things like that. But that's certainly a more educated way to put it, in a more erudite way to put it, that there are different ways to quantify these things.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I don't think money buys love or happiness. I think money can get you closer to things that make you happy or make you find love, you know? But I don't personally really value money all that much. I value happiness.
What kind of an economist are you? You know, I was changing jobs many, many years ago, going from one radio station to another one and taking a pay cut. As I so often did when I changed jobs, just because there were some other reason that I would change a job. But I was taking a pay cut, and I was talking to one of my older brothers, and I said something about taking the pay cut, and he said, "You think that's is that wise?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Anytime I've made a decision based upon money, it's never really worked out that great." And he said, "Well," and he and his wife had just gotten out of school and were teachers.
My mom's a teacher.
Yeah, so was mine.
Nice.
Yeah, we have a ton of them in the family. What does your mom teach?
She teaches fifth grade now. She taught second and third grade.
God love her.
20 years.
God love her.
Yeah, she's the best.
Yeah.
She's listening right now.
Is she? Hi, Mom. What's your mom's name?
Her name is Christy. Christy Crawford. She's lovely.
Is she?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, she's raised it. Christy, you raised this child right, by the way, Christy. Where are we? Oh, so anyway, so my brother, he says... And I said, well, anytime I made a decision on how much money I was going to make, it never worked out that great anyway, and I don't think it's that important. He says, well, that's true, unless you stop to buy guitar strings on the way home from work and you get home and you get into a fight with your wife about it because of the money you just spent. So I guess it's all relative as to how much you have.
Sure. You need some money.
Where does Christy teach?
She teaches in Bozeman. She teaches at Longfellow Elementary School, which is actually where I went to school.
Yeah.
She was my third grade teacher.
Really? My mom was my substitute teacher in first grade in West Fargo, North Dakota, and I was mortified.
Oh, yeah?
I loved my mom. She was great. Everybody loved my mom. She was terrific.
Same.
But I didn't know what to call her.
Right.
You know?
Mom, Miss Crawford.
Mrs. Johnson. What are you going to say, you know? So I didn't say anything that day.
I remember one day where I was sitting in the chair in the corner, and she comes up and she says, "Jackson, it's math time. You have to go do some math." And I just said, "No, you're my mom, not my teacher. I don't have to do math right now."
And what was her response to that?
Oh, she got me to do math.
I bet she did.
Yeah, she
got
me to do
math. Good for you, Christy. That's right. A little love and logic for you there. Okay. What are we here to talk about? The Missoula Nature and Energy Art Expo.
Yeah.
What's this all about?
So last January. I went to South Africa for 6 months. I did a film internship down there under a really cool producer who actually made Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Wait, District 9.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. His name's Michael Murphy. He made Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure when he was in his 20s. And moved down to South Africa and started making films down there. He made District 9. He made Dread. He made quite a few big movies.
Interesting.
So I got to intern under him and start making a documentary that I'm actually still working on about sustainability and renewable energy in South Africa, which is an amazing story. It's an incredible place that's really invested a lot into sustainability compared to the rest of the world. And that got me really inspired. It totally changed my direction of my life. I wanted to be a filmmaker or something in media arts, but all of a sudden now I want to be a part of something in sustainability and renewable energy. And so
let me interrupt for a second
Sure,
here.
Sure.
Your mom's a teacher. My wife is a teacher, by the way. And she hears back from a lot of her former students who have gone on to do some really interesting things. Other than your mom, who is your elementary school teacher, did you have a teacher that lit you on fire, that just lit you up, that made you think seriously about what you wanted to do with your life?
I've had a lot of teachers like that. I mean,
but is there one that stands out?
At the University of Montana, there is a climate change studies director named Nikki Fear, and she helped me a lot in figuring out my message of my film and figuring out what I should be researching and studying and who I could reach out to down there. And I also think that the climate change studies program at the university is really cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to grow into a really strong program as our political climate adjusts towards sustainability. And so
the ebb, the flow,
really cool.
The arc, all of that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I interrupted you. So this brings you back to what your project is now.
Yeah. While I was down there, I got really inspired by all the action that everybody was taking to make that place renewable. And it was just across the board. Everybody was pushing for this. And I came back to Montana, where we're very divided on stuff like renewable energy and sustainability. And I thought I wanted to do something that I could try to raise awareness for sustainability while raising some funds for a South African nonprofit that I met while I was down there. It's called the South African Renewable Energy Business Incubator. They're a really cool organization. They're a government organized nonprofit. And what they do is they take disadvantaged South Africans who have renewable energy business ideas, and they help them incubate them and create them into real businesses. So they give them a place to work. They let them work on prototypes. They give them some basic financial structure and incubate the business until it can be a standalone company. And they've done one successfully. They've created a solar water heating company called iSolar that's making really low price solar water heaters to install in townships across South Africa. And I think it's the best thing ever. Really? And I'd like to raise some money for it.
You know, it's so interesting because we had somebody in the other day too, talking about different sustainability issues, and almost always it comes down to water in terms of people having, I mean, obviously there's so many other things that go out in terms of equality and sustainability and education and equal rights and all the rest of that. But so much of every single culture that succeeds starts with water.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cape Town is really struggling with their water right now as well.
I've read about that. Yeah. Where they pretty much expected it to be gone.
Right.
Then they moved it back a few weeks.
It's been like that since I was there, actually.
Really?
For over a year. At least, if not two.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting about the news about Cape Town running out of water is it only made headlines once it started affecting people with money, with affluent people.
Yeah.
Because disadvantaged South Africans and townships have been struggling with low water supply for years. When I was there, it was level 3C water restrictions. We were only allowed to have 100 liters of water per person per day, including cooking and cleaning and washing and everything. But they didn't enforce it, right? You can't really go into a house and make sure how much water everybody's using, which is why they've now introduced the world's first water police, which are basically just officers who will go around and make sure that you're using your allotted amount of water, or else you'll run out.
How do they enforce it? How do they know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a brand new thing. I think they just instated it like in the past month. But from what I can tell, it's pretty gentle enforcement. It's mostly just watching.
More of a reminder than
anything. And reminders. Yeah.
So you have an event coming up this evening, is that correct?
Yep. It's called the Missoula Nature and Energy Art Expo. It's going to be tonight at Imagination Brewing from 5 to 8 p.m. It's going to be a bunch of art that I got donated from a bunch of my friends and family from around Montana, all environmentally minded art. I'm going to put it all up in the event room in Imagination. We're going to have a silent auction for everything. And all the money will go to the South African Renewable Energy Business Incubator.
You get some entertainment down there, too.
We do. Yeah, my friends are in a band called Jackson Holty and the Highway Patrol, and they're going to be playing the whole time from 5 to 8.
What kind of music do they do?
Oh, like all sorts of stuff, like rock and classic, you know, bar songs.
Okay.
You know, the classics.
Yeah. And you'll be able to sing along with
You'll
it.
Know them. You'll know the songs.
You'll know them.
It's going to be a beautiful day, too. We're going to have the patio open at Imagination. It's
right on the river.
Beer and music and art and all going to a good cause right on the river.
Yep. Speaking of water, right on the river. Okay, that's 5 to 8. Imagination Brewing is right down there on Broadway. It's across from the Pav over there.
Yeah.
Boy, I drove by there yesterday.
Yeah.
About 5 o'clock in the afternoon, coming back from doing something, running some errands. The place was packed.
Yeah.
Everywhere was packed yesterday, but that parking lot was packed.
The cool thing about Imagination is they were founded to be a community center more than a brewery. The brewery was kind of secondary, according to the owner, Fernanda, who's awesome and wonderful and helped me organize this.
In fact, both of the owners were here in the studio right when they first put that business in place.
Wow.
And I remember being, I'm not particularly cynical, but I remember thinking, well, we'll see, because that sounds, you know,
too good to be true.
Yeah, and it sounded almost like a marketing ploy, that the kind of thing you hear all the time. Man, they have proven.
Oh yeah,
proven their worth on their stated goal over there.
They've got a chalkboard up that shows how many days they've been open and how many community events they've hosted, and I think they've hosted like 5 times more community events than days they've been open.
Good for them. All right, where can people get more information?
So we're all over Facebook, the Missoula Nature and Energy Art Expo. We have a Facebook page, and if you go on there and click the little events button, our event will pop up there. You can also go to my website. It's jacksondcrawford.com. I got information on there about the Missoula Nature and Energy Arts Expo as well. It should be on Imagination's Facebook as well, but I'm not sure if it is.
All right. Well, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
In this day and age, they'll figure it out.
Yeah, if anything, come down to Imagination around 5 this evening and come check it out.
Why wouldn't you?
It's
alongside the river. Jackson, so nice to meet you. So nice to have you on the show. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Craig. Yeah, this has been great.
Yeah, and Christy, you did well. You did raise him right. He's a quality guy, Christy.
And Dave, the dad, as well. He's awesome. He's also listening, so thanks, Dad.
Whoa, just about left the dad out.
I can't leave the dad out.
What does your dad do now that we know what your mom does?
He's retired now, so he doesn't do anything.
Dave, you are an inspiration to us all. All right, thanks, Jackson.
Thank you.
It's 8:48 already. We're the trail. We'll take a look at the forecast after this. Peace of mind.